Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Live, local, logical. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation at 512-643-5483. Now, here are Cardle and Woolley.
Yes, I think it rained yesterday. Jim, I want to ask you, have you ever been walking up the sidewalk on Shoal Creek?
Okay.
And seen the water rising?
I have not, but I have seen the devastation. And boy, did you see some of the videos from those skyscrapers downtown, those condo apartments looking down at Shoal Creek?
Well, actually, I took some video, not of this flood, but of a prior one where you couldn't walk up along Shoal Creek. You know, there's almost a little river walk there. If you're downtown, you're near the 360 tower, and you're crossing that little bridge there to get across those railroad tracks.
Uh-huh.
And it, so over in the area of the library and all of that.
By Cesar Chavez,
Boy, that water can get high, and apparently it did.
Torrentially deadly, possibly,
you know,
speed yesterday.
I've always thought it'd be interesting to live in downtown San Antonio, and I've never really figured out a way to make it happen because I work in Austin.
Uh-huh.
However.
Because of the river walk?
Well, yeah, it's just so pretty and everything, but it looks like Elon Musk to the rescue.
Oh, he's going to build Woolley a tunnel.
Well, what they're saying is that on this Elon Musk Hyperloop, you could get to Dallas from Austin in 17 minutes, so you ought to be able to get from San Antonio to Austin in about 5 minutes, right?
Oh, my
Maybe
gosh.
10 minutes?
What is it? Beam me up, Scotty? That's about the speed of sound to get from Austin to Dallas?
Did you ever go to a JCPenney? Back in the day.
I did.
Now, back in my hometown Temple, we had a downtown JCPenney.
It's called Jacques Penney.
You would give the lady some money.
Uh-huh.
Like
cash.
Maybe a 20.
Physical.
Maybe a 20 and a 5, and you were owed 89 cents change back.
Uh-huh.
She puts it in this little thingy-do. She opens it up. It's like at your bank, and it would go upstairs, and the money would come back down, just like what you do at your bank when you're in the drive-in. What this is going to be bank teller deal with a bigger bullet or whatever you call it, capsule or whatever, and you just get in it and it goes whoosh,
suction,
and suddenly you're in Austin.
Suction and magnetic, probably levitation on a hyperspeed line there. That's
I asked the question, is he serious? They could either use pressure or they could use magnetism, I suppose. But you know, remember the rock and roller coaster at Disney MGM? That was magnetism. That thing went from 0 to 60 in like 2 seconds.
Yeah, that's high speed. And
so
that
the question
is,
that we got to ask is he serious about this?
Oh, heavens yeah. I don't think that Elon Musk does anything really that's unserious. I mean, aside of a humorous tweet every now and then, but yeah.
You mean
that's
saying that he supports the left half of the Republican Party and the right side of the Democrat Party, of which there are no such things?
Which he said the other day, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is something else. This is technology in the future, and it's levitation through magnetism, and you put in a little suction in there, like you're saying, the next thing you know, whoosh, we're going to be in Dallas. That's exciting.
All right. Did you want to talk about the new survey?
I do want to talk about this new survey.
That's what I thought.
Did I catch you at the end of a...
No, I was waiting for you to segue. That's a radio term. All right. So 75% of Americans think the United States is headed in the wrong direction under Biden. What do you make of it?
75% of Americans thinking that the U.S. is headed in the wrong direction is unsurvivable for the Democrats. I mentioned as an intro to the show here, Joe Biden may be telling America that inflation is at zero. We may be saying that the FBI investigation of Donald Trump is in home in Florida is really over the archives. America's just not buying what the Democrats and Joe Biden say anymore. And this is what I think this indicates. You know, they can be critical right now of the way the Republican Party is standing up for Donald Trump, or that the FBI has gone overboard when they're trying to make this case that Donald Trump really now, the latest is, has got secure national security papers down there. I don't think America believes that they have any of that, because they have no credibility. They have lost all credibility. And this is what this shows. When you've got yet another piece of bad news, we're under 80 days away now from the election, and a whopping 74% of Americans say that we're on the wrong track. This is an NBC News poll. This isn't your unrecognizable, unrespected poll. This is an NBC News poll. This is big deal. What do you think, Glenn?
I think it's... I don't know. I mean, look, you want to be encouraged.
You go up and down on polls, I know.
Yes, polls are what they are. Mm-hmm. They are polls.
Yep.
The Aggies would beat the Longhorns in any poll. But if you put the two teams on a football field and have them play, that's how you decide.
I like that analogy.
So we will decide all this at the ballot box, and this is encouraging. I mean, this is a very good-looking poll by NBC, which is a left-wing news organization for the Republicans. But yet, I don't think Mitch McConnell believes it. I don't think any Republican in Congress believes this rosy scenario anymore. I don't hear any of them. They're all saying pretty much, well, we'll still take the House. It's going to be by less, and we're probably not going to take the Senate.
Yeah, but Lynn, if you go to the lead of the TexasInsider.org, our lead story is that in the generic ballot over in Rasmussen, that's you ask the people on the other end of the phone, if the election were held today, are you going to, for Congress, are you going to vote for a Republican or a Democrat? The polls went up. Republicans' lead existed.
The
you
generic
need to read
ballot.
That.
Look, I don't
you
understand.
You need to read that because the polls are going Republicans. You've been on this kick the last 3 days
that
the Democrats are gaining. They're not.
The Democrats are absolutely gaining.
That's what the Democrats say.
It doesn't mean that they're going to win everything, but they are in far better shape than they were 3 weeks ago. As for the generic poll, worst thing you can survey. Nobody cares about the generic poll. The generic poll is, would you vote for Republican or Democrat? People don't vote for a Republican or a Democrat unless they're settled into their parties. So I would never vote for a Democrat. You would never vote for a Democrat. I'm sure Steve Adler would never vote for a Republican. So you can throw that out the window. The generic poll is ridiculous because people vote for personalities. The people in the middle, the independents, that some of them are going to like Liz Cheney, and some of them are not going to like Liz Cheney. But when you attach a name to a race, let me put it this way, make it very plain.
Okay.
Go out and ask 100 people, would you vote for the Republican or the Democrat for president? You'll get one result. Go out and ask them, are you going to vote if this is the matchup for Trump or Biden? You'll get a totally different result. So the generic ballot is worthless, and why they do it, I have never understood.
All I know is that 85% of U.S. voters now feel at least somewhat concerned about inflation, and 57 are very concerned. That's unsurvivable if you're a Democrat right now.
Well, it's the short memories, and of course, as I mentioned with my fish analogy yesterday, where I said I used to buy an $18 slab of salmon that I could have four or five meals on, you know, if it's just me.
Yeah, you can't even
and that
afford
was,
that.
And that $18 slab of salmon is now about $35 at Sam's. So, yes, you note that. But the people, have you also noticed the gasoline effect? How many people are saying, wow, I went to the gasoline pump over the weekend and I fill my car up for $30 and it used to be $70 or whatever. They're still not realizing it's far higher than it was under Trump, but it's come down from the high under Biden, and people are now thinking gasoline's a bargain.
Yeah, but when you have people saying that the country's going in the wrong direction by 61%. They're thinking about their job security.
Well, it's 75%.
They're thinking about their grocery prices. They're thinking about a number of different percent. Yeah, I'm sorry, I got the wrong number there. So this is a bigger thing, you're right, than just gas prices.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things, and I think that this anniversary of the Afghanistan thing has brought back a lot of really bad memories that people tend to forget unless you had somebody there.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll figure it out on Election Day or sometime within 5 weeks after Election Day.
Speaking of Election Day, New York and Florida voting today. That's going to be a big deal. We'll probably get into that.
Yeah, let's do that. All right, Texas School District, guess which one was using your money for some interesting stuff. We'll talk about that coming back. Talk 1370, the right choice. Cardle and Woolley in the morning. We'll be back.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Keeping Austin logical, it's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation, 512-643-5483.
Patrick Hoff has a story in the Washington Free Beacon about the Austin School District. And Hoff is reporting here that they encourage K through 12 teachers to take paid time off. So that would be at taxpayer expense then. To take a course on how to create supportive learning environments for LGBTQIA plus students as young as 5 years old.
The LGB is growing. It's now doubled in size. It's LGBTQIA. What do all these letters stand for? I thought all they wanted was to just be able to marry each other. It seems like it's gone a lot farther than that, and suspicions that it was going to be getting worse.
Do you want to know what it stands for?
I do.
All right. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual, queer, intersectional, and asexual.
Intersectional? Intersectional.
Intersexual.
That's interesting. Lynn, it's out of control, clearly.
Well, here's one of the slides.
Soup. Yeah.
Here's one of the slides from the training program.
Okay.
A 14-year-old youth who recently asked to be called Ronnie, not Veronica, discloses to you a desire to go by they pronouns. Ronnie wants to cut their hair short, but isn't sure how their parents will react, making them feel anxious. Ronnie is also stressed because while they have been dating Julie and came out as lesbian in seventh grade, they have started to have feelings for Ted, who identifies as a male, and this is confusing for them.
this is confusing for them. How about I'm confusing most
of
America?
Well, you're an Austin school teacher, let's just say. How do you handle that?
Lynn,
I'll tell you how I'd handle it.
How?
I'd set Ronnie down and say, you idiot, you're a girl, and your pronouns are she and her, so shut up. That's what I'd say.
Yeah, you'd go into the pronouns.
I wouldn't make it very far in that career, would I?
Lynn, this is the thing. In the mammalian world, all mammals, we need to have male and female to reproduce and survive. That's what... Why are we not worried about all the animals? I have a dog and a cat. You know, are they?
How did we get to animals?
I'm just trying to make a point. Okay, let me ask you this. How about if somebody's 30 years old and they want to identify as being 70 so that they can retire and go start collecting Social
because
Security?
Because I'm old and have been around the block.
There you have it. Thank you, Casey Johns. If you're 30 years old, is the left going to be willing to let you identify as 70 so you can retire and go on the government hind end and start drawing retirement?
Yeah, I doubt it.
That's because it's not reality.
Facility overcrowding is causing U.S. Border Patrol to spend routine patrols. This is from a website called the Foreign Desk. Lisa Daftari wrote this. This is crazy. This is from the Foreign Desk, but it also has a Breitbart connection
here. I know,
here.
Truly.
So all field operations within the Border Patrol's Del Rio sector were suspended. You know why?
Why?
There was so much overcrowding in the holding facilities and other facilities that they have, there weren't enough agents. And so some of the illegal aliens that crossed the river walked up to Breitbart people and said, can you arrest us? Because they know if they get arrested, they get dispersed. They probably want to go to New York. They can't wait to get on one of Greg Abbott's buses.
And New York's continuing to gripe. And Lynn, hey, by the way, you came up with the idea a couple weeks ago that we ought to be sending busloads of South Texas illegal immigrants to Nantucket. I saw other national leaders on Fox News and CNN saying the same thing.
Yeah, that reminds me of one of my favorite limericks.
What?
All right, 140 migrants arrive in New York from Texas in the largest single day relocation. Mm-hmm. About 140, Jim, arrived on.
Sunday. Yes.
About 6:45 a.m.
Yes.
And the group of migrants included families and individuals. According to CNN, officials estimate there were around 10 minors, including a 10-month-old baby.
It is a sanctuary city. They opened them with loving arms and didn't complain a bit, right?
Well, the Washington mayor's complaining. Eric Adams is complaining.
They're all complaining.
The Washington mayor wants National Guard troops sent out. She's made two requests. Both have been turned down. They don't even remotely have the problem that we have along the border.
I think Greg Abbott's done the nation a tremendous service. I don't know how much
he's done the immigrants a good service, too, because they want to go up there. They certainly don't want to stay down in the border
area. This is bringing the problem and the reality home to denying Democrats.
Well, he certainly has made them take note. Jim is on 1431 on the northwest side. Jim, good morning.
Hey, guys. Great show as usual. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
When is this insanity going to stop? When you have the
Hold on, Jim. I'm confused. Which insanity? Are we talking border, Austin schools, or the San Antonio-Austin Hyperloop?
Oh, man, all three of it. No. I'm talking about your 100% correct assessment on the sitting the kid down and explaining what the truth is. It's just nuts. And when your taxes go to pay teachers to reinforce this crap, where do you go from there?
I don't know. Burke Breathed, who either does or used to live in Austin, settled this decades ago.
Who's he?
It's time to take the TEA, whatever the national education, it's time to take them to the woodshed. It's time to take these complicit teachers and administrations to the woodshed. This is out of, oh my God.
You remember Bill the Cat and Opus the Penguin?
No.
Breathed, well, I know Jim wouldn't, but this was one of the funniest comic strips ever created, and I wish he hadn't retired early, but Bloom County. But he had a situation where the cat and the penguin had their thumbs inside their underwear, pulled them out, and they were looking down, and the caption said, how to decide if you're a boy or a girl, and it still holds true today. That's the way you do it.
I think all of this can be assessed in one word. I mean, considering the last 2.5 years, everything has become Bidenized.
Yes, it certainly has. Everything has become Bidenized. That's a great way to put it. Talk 1370 is the right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, but what I hear in his voice is he's going to turn out in November. That's a good thing.
Oh, well, I think everybody that listens to this show will turn out in November.
Yes.
Talk 1370 is the right choice. It's Jim Cardle and Lynn Woolley in the morning. He's the boss. I'm the sidekick. We'll be back in just a few moments.
That's a bunch of malarkey.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's Dana Lash. Coming up at 11 a.m., it's The Dana Show. Now back to Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370.
You know, can we take just a moment here for some humor? Do you mind?
Please,
I mean,
do.
Just something that's uplifting and just makes you feel. It's just one of those feel-good stories. You know what I'm talking about?
After those rain figures from Dallas there on the national news, yeah, let's lighten up a little bit.
All right, here's Brian Stelter opening up on his final show after being canceled.
One of the biggest media stories of the week is right here. It's the end of this show. CNN has canceled Reliable Sources. Yes, the longest running program on the network. NPR's David Folkenflik broke the news on Thursday. And I have a lot of thoughts about it, but I'm gonna save those for later this hour. As most of you know, CNN has a new owner. Warner Brothers Discovery is making big changes across the company. And there's gonna be more change all across the company, including here at CNN. And I'm sad that I won't be here to cover it. But since this is our final episode, we're gonna do something a little bit differently today. This entire hour, it's a special hour, and it's about change. It's about change all across the media world. What's changing, what might change, and what must never change about the accountability function of journalism.
Okay, just hold on to that thought there about the function of journalism, and we'll return to that in just a moment. Then Stelter praised his own show. He says it is one of a kind. You know, like Fox's Media Buzz.
You know, I love this show. This small but mighty show punched above its weight for so many years. Even a former president commented on the cancellation. Reliable Sources has been a one-of-a-kind show and a popular show. This is one of CNN's highest-rated weekend shows. So I want to say thank you to all of you watching around the world. I was lucky to be a part of it for 9 years, but it began 30 years ago, right after the Gulf War. So here's what the iconic former CNN CEO Tom Johnson said on Facebook when he heard the show was canceled. He said about the show's origins, it was founded by Ted Turner and leaders of CNN who felt very deeply that media organizations have a responsibility to report and to evaluate the journalism profession itself. That was the idea. It was a great idea. It is a great idea. And I know many of you are just like Johnson. You're going to miss this show. I want to say thank you to the thousands and thousands and thousands of emails and tweets that I've been receiving this week.
Okay, just a couple of things about that clip.
You got some thoughts there?
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
What? Wait a minute. One of is a, and then you have a superlative after that, is crazy. One of CNN's highest rated weekend shows.
Yes.
Okay, he didn't say it was its highest rated weekend show. What of its high? We don't even know. That doesn't even have a meaning. And number two, CNN's weekend shows have no audience to speak of.
That's
not compared
right.
to what Fox does. And of course, I don't know. Casey might know more about this than I do, but I kind of doubt that these cable news networks hold their ratings through the weekend the same as they do during
CNN's
the week.
CNN's numbers show it's around 500,000 nationwide or less.
Well, we're talking weekends here, though,
right.
So it wouldn't be anything that high. Now, I mentioned where he's talking about all the journalistic standards. The problem was, and the problem with Media Buzz, it's the same thing. Media Buzz is the exact same show, has the former anchor of Reliable Sources over on Fox, Howard Kurtz.
Okay.
It's the same show. So one of a kind? Not exactly. But the problem with Media Buzz, and the reason I quit watching it, and the reason that I only watched Reliable Sources because Stelter was an unintentional comedian. But the problem with Reliable Sources,
okay,
and I believe this is why it's getting canceled or has been canceled, is the same problem Media Buzz has. They, both of those shows devolved into just another network show. Media Buzz has all the same guests that any other Fox show has all week long. And the same thing happened with Stelter. It became another dump on Trump show. It wasn't a fair and balanced, down-the-middle look at how Fox handled the week, at how they handled the week on CNN, at how NBC did, or the New York Times. It was supposed to be a show critical of media, praising media when it commits journalism, and going after media when it doesn't. And they got away from that, and it became just another panel show to bash Trump.
Oh,
so absolutely no journalistic worth for it.
And you're perhaps intentionally, but I think accidentally, saying that they were just another show to bash Trump. I'd say even worse
Than that was quite intentionally.
They were the leaders in the CNN studios of bashing Trump. I guess that's the way they were trying to distinguish themselves. And that's during a day and age when a lot of Americans feel like MAGA would be a nice thing.
All right, so Sky News host Rita Panahi has been a critic of CNN and Biden for a long time. She's out of Australia, if my memory serves me. So she sets up Stelter's career highlights, and this is hilarious.
Now to Brian Stelter, the disingenuous Democrat propagandist who had the nerve to call his program Reliable Sources. After years of pushing crazy Russian collusion conspiracies, of bearing legitimate stories the Democrats did not want covered, and generally being a North Korean-style propagandist for the left, Stelter got his marching orders from CNN this week. Let us take a few moments to appreciate some of his career highlights.
Okay, we have the highlight clip of Stelter, but I want to say something about what she just said
That. That was fair and balanced reporting right there.
Not exactly.
How so?
Not in my opinion.
Oh, really?
Well, because it was Brian Stelter that took this show into a parody of what it was supposed to be. Reliable Sources, when it first started, was a very good show.
It was
helmed by Howard Kurtz, a longtime media critic. It was much more fair and balanced. Of course, if I'm not wrong, I believe that show is older than even the Fox Network. But when Fox Network came in, the show, and Kurtz was lured away to do a similar show called Media Buzz over at Fox, then Reliable Sources brought in Stelter, who had been a media writer. I think it was for the New York Times.
New York Times, you're right.
All right, so Stelter comes over, and suddenly what you could call the Morning Joe effect took place. Joe Scarborough was a good guy till he went to MSNBC. And you can't be in a snake pit for a long time without becoming a snake. And so you had Stelter over there in that CNN environment that used to have reporters like Bernard Shaw and people like that, and Lyndon Soles. Remember some of these old people?
Shaw, there's the name.
These were true news people at a time when journalism was journalism, but then we got into the Jim Acosta-type reporter, where they came there to push a political persuasion.
Well, Jeff Zucker.
And Stelter continued to push that political persuasion on a show called Reliable Sources, which shouldn't have been about that.
Yeah, when CNN was run by Jeff Zucker, history will show he flew it. He's been flying.
Yeah, he flew it into the ground. Here's the montage of Stelter, and it's short. It's just a few indications of how far down Stelter took this show.
Trump might have committed treason. What does Putin have on Trump? The U.S. president possibly working for the Russians. Is President Trump a racist? Is the Trump presidency a criminal presidency? Trump and some of his allies are promoting a hate movement against the American press. I mean, for all we know, these emails are made up, or maybe some are real and others are fakes. We don't know. But we do know that this is a classic example of the right-wing media machine.
That is not appropriate for a show called Reliable Sources, which is a media critique show, that was not cherry-picked either. That was typical of Brian Stelter.
He literally asked the question if a U.S. president was working for Russia's President Vladimir Putin.
Well, and that's fine if that's what John King wants to do on his panel, or Anderson Cooper or somebody like that.
Shows.
But that's not okay for a show called Reliable Sources. Stephen's on the line in Round Rock. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah. To just kind of dogpile a little bit with you, when they say they were the number one CNN-rated weekend show or one of the best,
uh-huh.
Is that kind of like the world's tallest midget?
Yes.
Well, the reason why I was calling is you were reporting a poll that was saying around three-quarters of people polled said that America's on the wrong track. Well, there was an accompanying question on that poll, And it was around 50% of the people polled thought that America's best days were behind us, and that's saying that we have really passed the point of no return.
Okay, what do you see as fallacious about that, just right off the bat without even having to think twice about that particular statement you just made from that poll?
I really don't...
Help
I don't
us
see
both,
it as
Lynn,
being
what
fallacious.
Less than 2 years ago, we were in a position. I'm sorry. Let me make my statement. Hold on. Just stop and let me make my statement, then you can talk.
Okay.
Less than 2 years ago, America was at the top of almost every list. America had been made great again. Our economy was as close to perfect as an American economy can ever be. That's not my statement. That's economist's statement. We were respected across the. I will say we were respected by our peers in countries in Europe and Asia.
And feared by our enemies.
Because they didn't know what Trump would do. Trump was somewhat a loose cannon, but boy, did it stop the little rocket man, and Putin would not have invaded Ukraine. Yeah, our best days, in my opinion, are not far behind us and can easily be returned.
I don't agree that it's going to be easy, if at all possible, to return us to that, because we actually have our president is on the puppet strings of another country. The CCP tells Joe what to do. He's bought and paid for, and
that
all of our elections
Chinese
are rigged.
Communist
There's no way we
partner.
Can vote our way out of this.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We're going to have to do it. And, Stephen, if we don't, and look, I'm fine with somebody else. I'd prefer Pence, although I think Pence is a little wimpy to be president of the United States. I'm sorry. I like the guy. I like him a lot, actually.
Respect him
a lot.
Yeah.
But I don't think he could get in there. In the words of my friend Lou Ann, we need a junkyard dog.
And
to get America back to where it needs to be, we've got to toss out this LGBTQ nonsense, like we just did the story on a moment ago.
Toss out inflation and high gas prices.
And we've got to stop the outrageous spending, which Trump was no good at. So he's going to have to get better at that. And we're going to have to get this national debt down to fix inflation. Talk 1370 is the right choice. 512-643-5483. Lynn Woolley, Jim Cardle in the morning. And you, too, if you want to call, 512-643-5483.
Just two rejected applicants for the Biden Ministry of Truth.
We choose truth over facts.
Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Sound off on the day's top stories, 512-643-5483.
There are no bad or uninteresting stories in the stack today, Mr. Cardle. We're going to talk about Trump and Mar-a-Lago. There are some major developments in that. We've got some audio on it, too,
mm-hmm.
And we'll do that after the top of the hour. We talked about Stelter being gone, and you will remember what happened earlier in the week, or have we already forgotten, with regard to personnel at CNN?
What was that?
Jeffrey Toobin left.
Oh, yes. A lot of folks won't know who he is.
Oh,
but
come
he
on.
Was a
Jeffrey
despicable...
Toobin has been there for 30 years. He was their main legal analyst. So if anybody's ever watched CNN, they would know that. And they certainly know what little incident he got into that we won't mention on the air
and
right
the
now.
And the fact that they kept him, I'll tell you.
Yeah, but well, that was, yeah. Well, as long as Jeff Zucker was there, he was going to stand up for these people. But now Stelter's gone, Tubin's gone.
Chris
I've got
Cuomo.
A piece here out of a town hall. Well, Chris Cuomo was a different thing, though. He committed some unpardonable sins.
They're all gone.
They're gone. All right, so now they're saying on town hall that they're thinking that next up is going to be Don Lemon. And then I have heard, read other places where it says, if Trump runs, well, this is on town hall. If Trump runs again, the network may keep Lemon and Acosta and others because they will need them to be on Trump's case constantly in order to get any ratings. The problem CNN has is their network is a laughingstock. It isn't journalistic at all. But their
Not
only
accurate.
Ratings source has come from Trump bashing.
True.
Boy, so what do they do if they don't Trump bash?
That's a good question.
A straight news network down the line?
That's the question. That's
would
what
that increase
gonna,
their ratings?
That's or, what they're going to say.
Well, would that increase their ratings?
I suspect it might. They have nowhere to go but up, Lynn. That's the problem.
Oh, they can go down.
No, they
Speaking of going
go
down,
up.
The University of Texas is offering a class on Taylor Swift lyrics and songwriting.
Is this a sign of the times or what?
I don't know.
Taylor Swift, she's like the well, top don't... five followed people on Twitter.
Well, that's exactly right. So what is your thought on that? Because I think it's silly. You know, I could see a class on Lennon McCartney. I mean, they were songwriters that will last as long as there is music and history in the world. They will last, but I don't know anything about Taylor Swift.
You cannot really be serious about that. You don't know anything about Taylor Swift's the most popular female singer in the last 10 years.
No, I know who Opus the Penguin is. You don't know that.
I don't know who Opus the Penguin is. No, this is...
But I don't know. I know who Taylor Swift is, but I just avoid her.
This is a sign of the times. I mean, there's there's a lot to be said for having culture in perhaps your
Does this make the university look prestigious, or does it make the university look silly?
I would think the latter.
I don't know that it's silly,
but...
I mean, we make fun about basket weaving. This makes basket weaving look like a PhD course.
Yeah, there's something to the finer sciences or the hard sciences and the degree of difficulty that students have with a college curriculum. I'm not sure that this is going to qualify for
yes,
that.
Yes, sir. Got my application filled out here. I've got a master's degree in Taylor Swift lyrics and songwriting.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Talk 1370, the right choice. Carl and Woolley will be back.
Live, local, logical. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation at 512-643-5483. Now, here are Cardle and Woolley.
Jim, there are three major developments in the Trump raid story on Mar-a-Lago. Development number one, the judge in this case, Reinhardt, formally rejects the Department of Justice request to seal the entire Mar-a-Lago search warrant affidavit.
Yep, the FBI's,
DOJ wants nothing out.
The FBI's going backwards. And
number two, Trump DOJ files a motion challenging the FBI search warrant and is demanding a special master, neither left nor right, neither Republican nor Democrat, to review the documents.
What are they trying to hide?
Number three, the Biden White House facilitated the DOJ's criminal probe against Trump, according to memos obtained by Just the News, and was going to scuttle all of Trump's privilege claims, meaning that if this story is correct, if this turns out to be true, and I think it's a reliable source to coin a phrase there. Then Joe Biden's up to his neck in this raid.
Oh, absolutely. You know that he is and that they're going to be spending half their time, just like they did during the Russia hoax, to try and diffuse and cover up the real background and details behind how this thing happened. And either way, whether, you know, the Biden White House was involved or not, to what extent it was, they're on the defensive. They're going to be looked upon by the general public as being untrustworthy, and that's a problem for Joe Biden and the Democrats.
Senator,
you don't attack your former opponent and try to put him in jail.
Senator Marsha Blackburn, a Republican from Tennessee, went on Fox with Maria Bartiromo, and she's talking about what she thinks is behind that raid.
We still do not know exactly what they are up to. We know that it is broad and has been far-reaching, going for documents anywhere between 2017 and 2021. It wasn't a focused raid, if you will. What we do know is that the Tennesseans I'm talking to say if they can do this to President Trump, they can do it to me. We do know that Biden and his crew have a history of doing things that are out of the ordinary. You can look at the Russia collusion hoax and how they still don't want to let that go and say that it was all cooked up by Hillary's campaign. And we do know that DOJ and the FBI chose not to raid Hillary Clinton's home and get the server. They didn't raid the homes of her staff and get their devices. And we also know that they chose to say that Hunter Biden's laptop was Russia propaganda.
Not a focused raid, says Marsha Blackburn, and that's the most interesting thing. Most of the rest of what she was saying, a lot of other people have said too, but that not a focused raid, that sort of grabbed my attention.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound like fishing expedition to you?
It absolutely does, because it is, yes.
And then Bartiromo asked Blackburn about FBI blunders, including the now infamous and despicable Governor Whitmer kidnapping plot.
The FBI, and what can you do about it as an elected official on the Judiciary Committee?
And Maria, we have seen the FBI become politicized, a certain group, a certain cabal in the FBI. We have wonderful men and women who are working in that agency. We have wonderful individuals that have retired out. We have heard from some of the whistleblowers and the continued oversight, the work that Senator Grassley is continuing to do is going to be very important to make certain that the FBI is returned. The leadership of the FBI is returned to being a non-political agency. You know, people really fear this having two tiers of justice, two separate systems, rules for thee but not for me, that approach. And it is unnerving to Tennesseans, and we hear about this every single day.
Well, she's right about that, and we've got a piece here, hopefully we'll get to it today, by Victor Davis Hanson, where he outlines the bifurcated justice system about as plainly as I've seen anybody do it. All the Trump homes are of people that are in Trump's orbit that have been invaded by our government, can you think of a left-winger? Can you think of anybody in Bill Clinton's orbit, Hillary's orbit, Biden or Obama's, whose home has been raided?
No, of course not. But here's the bigger and the most important question, Lynn. Whose poll numbers have gone up after this FBI excursion?
Oh, I don't know.
Donald Trump's.
Have they?
Yes. I even heard some analysis on MSNBC yesterday saying that Donald Trump engineered this and baited the FBI into raiding his home so that his poll numbers would go up. Let me ask you another question.
To those who get your news from MSNBC.
It's insane. I know. Let me ask you another question. How many Democrats are going to be inviting Joe Biden to come into their district over the next 70 days as we're in the home stretch of the 2022 midterms?
Yeah, not many.
Let me ask you another question because I looked into this yesterday. Do you know what Donald Trump's endorsement record is in all these primaries? It's 192-11. Let me repeat that. It's mathematically and statistically impossible. Trump-endorsed candidates are 192-11. They are scared you-know-whatless over Donald Trump. That's why they're going after him. They know what the polls show on the ground and why Americans are so anti-Democrat right now. This is going to be a sea-change election. And I think the Democrats are just going to be digging their hole further between now and November.
Boy, I wish I had your optimism.
192-11, Lynn.
Yeah, I don't have it. I don't think we're going to take the Senate. I hope we take the Senate, but I think that's probably a little too much of an unreasonable expectation.
Donald Trump's candidates are 13-0 in the Senate. The Democrats know what's coming upon them. trust their insights.
All right, fine. I'm going to tell people again, go vote.
Well, of course.
Don't listen to Jim. That. Go vote, because we don't have this in the can. We don't even remotely have it in the can, and therefore, I don't want anybody to be overconfident. I don't even want anybody to be confident. We've got to get to the polls, and we've got to vote out the insanity, or we're in trouble. Now, let's get to those three big stories.
All right.
The judge formally rejecting the DOJ request to seal the entire Mar-a-Lago search warrant affidavit. That's the U.S. Magistrate Judge Bruce Reinhart. He's the guy who signed off on the initial search warrant for the raid.
And it gets worse than that.
Okay.
He's actually giving them a second chance to build their case, because their first effort at it was a total nothing burger. That's what's going on here. He's giving them a second chance to really prove that they've got something, because in the first go-round, he's admitting that they didn't. That's how desperate and or what sorry shape the FBI's in this case.
All right. Reinhart said he cannot say at this point that partial redactions will be so extensive that they will result in meaningless disclosure. What he's talking about is once they take the black magic marker and they start redacting things, we're going to end up with just pages with nothing left on them.
Of course.
And Trump has posted, of course, on social, Truth Social, calling for the immediate release of the completely unredacted affidavit. His lawyers obviously don't want that, because they have not pursued it. They have filed no such motions.
So if an affidavit comes out that's essentially blacked out, what's the public's reaction?
Well, that's what Reinhart is worried about, because he thinks his own reputation is on the line.
They're worried.
Trump has filed a motion challenging the FBI search warrant and wants a special master. Would you like to tell our listening audience what that would mean?
I'm going to let you do it.
Well, a special master is supposedly somebody neutral.
Yes.
Yeah. How many neutral people are there in the United States right now?
Not very many.
There is the left, the right, and the ignorant. And by ignorant, I mean people that just don't care. They've dropped out of politics.
Well, let's get Robert Mueller from the Russia.
So Trump in the filing. Is he?
Uh-huh.
Trump in the filing asked the government three questions. Why raid my home with a platoon of federal agents when I have voluntarily cooperated with your every request? Second, what are you trying to hide from the public, given that you requested I turn off all home security cameras?
That's what most people
are
asking.
Three, why have you refused to tell me what you took from my home? Trump has previously asserted that all the documents were declassified. The question about that remains, a POTUS can do that. Can an ex-POTUS do it? And did he do it before he became an ex-POTUS?
Well, let's ask Barack Obama and Bill Clinton and George W. Bush. I suspect if their homes were raided, we'd find some stuff there, too, and these same questions would be applicable.
There are no ex potus facto laws in America. Now, Biden White House facilitated the DOJ's criminal probe.
Mm-hmm.
This is John Solomon's website saying this.
And he's a good one.
He says, long before it professed no prior knowledge of the raid on Trump's estate, the Biden White House worked directly with the Justice Department and the National Archives to instigate the criminal probe into alleged mishandling of documents, allowing the FBI to review evidence retrieved from Mar-a-Lago this spring, and this is the big part, eliminating the 45th president's claim to executive privilege, and that would have had to have been done by Joe Biden. So what Solomon is saying is Biden has been lying to us about saying he's not part of this, that he's been in on it all along. Now, what does that mean to the American system?
That it's in trouble big time, that we're moving down the road. And it's why it's never happened before.
Well, Jim, I was trying to get you to be more specific. You cannot have a sitting president going after the guy that's probably going to be his rival.
Exactly.
And that's what happens. That's what happens in third world banana republics.
Literally. And it's what happens when you know you have no leg to stand on issues-wise and you're desperate.
Mm-hmm. What Victor Davis Hanson has written about the FBI is hair curling.
It is.
If you and I each had enough hair to curl, our hair would be curled.
Well, you do.
Well, I don't have a lot.
Logically discussing the issues Austin cares about. Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join in 512-643-5483.
Jim, there is a piece in the Epoch Times by Victor Davis Hanson called FBI RIP? question mark?
He's a good one. He knows what he's talking about.
Have you read this article?
Absolutely, I have.
You know, this gets back to our old buddy Ruben Navarrete.
Okay.
Who has an article out today saying that there's no difference in somebody like, Chito Vela or Vanessa Fuentes wanting to defund the police and Jim Cardle and Lynn Woolley wanting to defund the FBI. Yeah. Navarrete says, oh, so now we want to defund law enforcement. Sometimes, you know, as much as I like Ruben and respect him, sometimes he gets a burr up his saddle and it stimulates the wrong nerve impulses into his brain. This is not even remotely the same.
Well, we had years ago the Russia collusion hoax. Then we had the sixth insurrection. The FBI is just devolving faster than a New York minute.
Just to go through a few things.
Yes.
He says this Mar-a-Lago raid, we're 90 days from a midterm election. This was not a raid. It was a political act.
Absolutely.
Now, just quickly, Democratic Party anticipated to suffer historic losses.
Mm-hmm.
He may have changed his mind since he wrote this, but this is what he said then. Trump was on the verge of announcing his 2024 presidential candidacy. Mm-hmm. So, yes, this was a political act. Mm-hmm. In 2016, then-FBI Director James Comey announced that Hillary Clinton was guilty of destroying subpoenaed emails, and then that's a likely felony, yet said she would not be prosecuted.
Mm-hmm.
The FBI has devolved, he says, into a personal retrieval service for the incorrigible Biden family.
Yeah.
It suppressed for political purposes information surrounding Hunter Biden's missing laptop on the eve of the 2020 election. Previously, the FBI never pursued Hunter's fraudulently registered firearm, his mysterious foreign income, his felonious crack cocaine use, or his employment of foreign prostitutes.
See, what's going on here, Lynn, is that the left, in using the FBI to go after Donald Trump, is just drawing more attention to their own problems. It's just phenomenal to think that they wouldn't realize.
Depends on where you get your news. You don't know any of this if you watch CNN. Seriously, you know none of this.
But
if
nobody
you watch
watches CNN.
Well, you say nobody watches CNN.
You said it yourself.
But a lot of people get their news from Facebook and other places. They don't get this stuff. All right, so not everybody sits in front of Fox News all night. Not even me.
I don't
sit in front of, no, you sit in front of MSNBC.
Yeah, and they're scared to death about Donald Trump. That's why they're weaponizing the FBI. And
so they've gone after and targeted the home of journalist James O'Keefe.
Yeah.
Because of why? Because they thought he had the diary of Joe Biden's daughter, who is apparently another interesting case.
And she might have some family secrets, too.
They have gone after Peter Navarro, mm-hmm. a Trump economic advisor. Mm-hmm. They've stormed the home the office of Rudy Giuliani, sent a SWAT team to Roger Stone's house. I mean, it never stops here with these people.
This is an insurrection that the Democrats are executing by using the FBI. They are trying to overturn and ruin the American justice system. That's the point of view of most Americans.
Interim FBI Director Andrew McCabe admitted to lying repeatedly to federal investigators and signed off on a fraudulent FISA application.
Yep.
We're only that's only half of what he's
right.
written, and he didn't catch everything. James Comey, on 245 occasions, claimed under oath that he had no memory or knowledge of key questions concerning his tenure, but he leaked information, confidential FBI memos to the media. Comey took over from Robert Mueller, who had sworn under oath that he had no knowledge of either the Steele dossier or Fusion GPS. Yeah, if you believe that, I've got an Ann Richards bridge I'd like to sell you. FBI legal counsel Kevin Kleinsmith was convicted of a felony in this case.
Yes,
if I'm not wrong, he's gotten his law license back, hasn't he?
He was convicted and he admitted he altered and doctored the FISA documents that led to the warrant.
To spy on Carter Page.
It was all FBI lies.
Comey bragged in public how he caught a National Security Advisor designate, Lieutenant General Mike Flynn, in its crossfire hurricane Russian collusion mm-hmm. hoax. And then Mueller fired Lisa Page and Peter Strzok, two of his top investigators at different times, so that it wouldn't appear that they were colluding.
And where's Peter Strzok now?
At CNN.
Yeah, exactly.
Mueller's team deleted critical telephone evidence under subpoena at the time.
That's illegal.
The FBI interferes with and warps national elections. It hires complete frauds as informants. It humiliates or exempts government and elected officials based on their politics. He says it has become dangerous to Americans and an existential threat to democracy.
Oh, but they do have an insurance policy because they were afraid Donald Trump was going to be elected. That is absolutely.
I would submit that as evidence to my friend Ruben Navarrete, who says defunding the FBI is the same as defunding the police here in Austin. I think not. I think it's a very different thing. The police in Austin can arrest me, and they can arrest me on false pretenses, but they can't do the things to me that the FBI and the Department of Justice can do.
And they go into Donald Trump's home over archives issues. Yeah, right.
Talk 1370 is the right choice. 512-643-5483 is our number if you'd like to opine, and we'll be right back.
Live, local, and taking your calls at 512-643-5483. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370.
Well, there's a couple of different ways, Jim, to interview people. One is you're trying to extract information out of them. The other way is you're trying to make them look bad. Now, when Jim Acosta from CNN interviews somebody, and this reminds me of Chris Wallace, he has a lot of this same in him. What he's wanting to get out of an interview is, I look good, my guest looked bad.
That's not the
style we do on this show. We ask somebody a question, we shut up. And we let, well, I do anyway, and let the guy talk.
Oh, you. You shut up. Casey, did you get that on tape? Yes, exactly.
Everything's on what now amounts to tape.
Yeah.
So, but Acosta, when he's interviewing somebody, it's, if he doesn't like the answer, he butts in. Now, look, I'm a guy that likes to extract answers out of people.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think you have a right to interrupt what other people are doing?
I'm sorry, Bernie.
That's a live question or a response from Bernie when we were to up
me,
in D.C.
Yes.
to you, yes.
All right, so let's go to this Jim Acosta weekend show.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it's called. I think the name of it officially is the Acosta Weekend Show. But anyway, he's got a guy on there that you and I have interviewed a couple of times,
yes,
Chad
sir.
Wolf, who's a former acting DHS secretary. And somehow it got to the point of, was there fraud in the election, as Trump says?
Ah.
And what does Chad Wolf think about it? But, oh, wait a minute. Chad Wolf thinks about it differently than Jim Acosta does. Therefore, Therefore Jim Acosta must butt in constantly. So here's kind of how it went. And if you're at UT and you're in journalism, listen to this and don't ever do an interview like this one. Here's Acosta asking Wolf whether he agrees that the election of Joe Biden was free and fair.
Well, I certainly...
And that Joe Biden won the election fair and square?
Well, let me address the photo that you showed. Obviously, working with the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, what we call CISA at the department, their mission is very tailored, which is to make sure that elections are free from any cybersecurity threats. And certainly during 2020, we were focused on foreign threats because of the intel that we had seen at the time. What DHS does not do, what CISA does not do, is talk about election fraud. We don't have that jurisdiction. We don't have those authorities. That's the Department of Justice. And so
you think there was election fraud?
I think there's a number of election irregularities, illegalities, and fraud. And I think that's been widely reported.
But enough to alter the outcome of the 2020 election?
I would say any type of fraud, type of election fraud. No, this is important. Any type of, I don't want to just bypass, was it a little or is it a lot, right? Any election fraud should be addressed.
It reminds me of when Chris Wallace said to Michelle Bachmann, it wasn't jerk, wasn't the word he used. I can't remember what it was. But this is Acosta saying, are you an election denier? It was a word for fruitcake. I'll think of it in a minute. Flake, that's what it was. He says, are you a flake? Well, here's Acosta saying, are you a denier?
He actually used the words fair and square. By any measurement, this last election of Joe Biden, there were irregularities, and irregularities don't meet the definition of fair and square.
So Wolf explains his thoughts on fraud while Acosta is simply being Acosta.
And I don't think we can say just, hey, there's a little fraud, so that's okay.
Who won the 2020?
At the end of the day.
Chad,
I think that's very, very important.
Who won the 2020 election?
Obviously, Joe Biden is president.
No.
I mean, there is a, but, no. I just answered your question.
No, but he is the president, obviously.
He is the president.
I've seen folks from Trump World parse this out and say, okay, Joe Biden is president. We know that. Okay,
yeah.
That is a matter of fact. Do you believe that he won that election fair and square?
I believe that I just answered the question first. Let me answer it in two parts. One, Joe Biden is president. Two, a number of irregularities, illegalities, and fraud occurred during 2020.
But not sufficient to throw
again. I don't have
Biden.
All of that evidence. I think there's been a number of reporting.
You sound like a conspiracy theorist. You sound like an election denialist.
How is that a conspiracy theorist?
Because
when
you, Chad, you know, let's you look know at, full let's look well at that Joe Biden won the election. You
let's
know
look at
he
Wisconsin.
Won the election.
Wisconsin Supreme Court says that the way
the
they
US
use drop boxes
did not want to have anything to do with
the
any
way
of these
they
challenges.
Use drop boxes were illegal in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So how do you sit there
the
and
Trump
say
Supreme
that
Court
that
won.
Is a conspiracy theory when that happens to be the facts?
Yeah.
You know, Acosta might be better to not have guests because then he can go on with these monologues because he doesn't want the guests to have any part of the show.
Hillary Clinton still says that Donald Trump didn't win that election fair and square. Stacey Abrams in Georgia still has not conceded. These are clear examples of where the left is accusing the right of doing exactly what they're doing, and it happens all the time. That's why they have no credibility.
All right, but back to Acosta, because I think this is why he's not going to be at CNN probably for more than another week or two. I mean, they
Ooh.
Could take a little while, but I think he's out of there, and I think this interview is part and parcel of the reason why.
A prediction.
You don't have – look, what Republican would want to go on Jim Acosta's show if this is the way you're going to be treated?
Well, you have to give Chad Wolf kudos.
Even the
for
people
doing
that I disagree with on this show when we have them occasionally, you don't beat them up like this.
Or interrupt
It's okay
them.
To ask them hard questions.
But you don't interrupt.
But you don't berate them,
like them
on the
yes.
air, right? All right, so here's Acosta trying to force Wolf into saying Biden won and move on.
The Supreme Court wanted nothing to do with anything.
Well, okay,
any of these challenges.
That's fine.
Trump lost over and over and over again. Why not accept that? Why not move on?
I have moved on. And so what we're doing at the America First Policy Institute through our Center for Election Integrity.
But you had Donald Trump
actually,
speak at your, had,
is actually
you had
talking
Trump
about
your
a lot of these issues at the state level. When we talk about voter ID,
yeah.
we talk about scrubbing voter rolls. We talk about same-day election voting. Look, you asked me the question, so I'm answering it. If you want to look back to 2020, I'm focused on looking forward. We've got midterms, and obviously we have a presidential.
I'm happy to continue to answer questions about President Trump.
But I think polling every single day.
You think he's lying about the 2020
polling
election?
Polling will say both folks on the left and the right do not have confidence in our election system, and that's a problem. And I think that's what we should be focused on. How do we solve these problems so that when we have the midterms in a couple of months, and we have
our elections are fine?
You know, I wish I could get invited on Acosta's show.
I bet you do.
Because I'd get up in the middle of the damned interview and I'd walk off.
Oh, that's not good to do, though.
Oh, it's great.
I tell you what's going
I've
on.
I've never done
here,
that though, but I've always wanted to.
What's going on here is CNN and Jim Acosta, who is all about Jim Acosta. He's continuing to focus on and berate an issue Americans don't care.
Do you think anybody will want him though? You think? I mean, MSNBC obviously is of the same ilk, but
no.
Do you think anybody will want him? Will
Heavens.
He show up on Morning Joe or Joy Reid or any of the lovely journalistic programming that your favorite network carries?
Well, who knows? I mean, probably not. But he'll probably start a podcast. But this is indicative of what is leading to Americans not trusting the press or not trusting Democrats. They're still focused on something that people don't care about anymore. They really don't necessarily care about Donald Trump because we've got too many problems that are in our lap caused by Joe Biden. That's what's the issue. Inflation, gas prices, eggs are up. International crises. Joe Biden is the problem, and they're still talking about somebody who doesn't even hold office.
I know. I'm just fascinated with CNN right now. I'm just thinking that after the purge, Wolf Blitzer may come on to do the news and say, "Hi, I'm Wolf Blitzer, CNN." And I'll be with you here for the next 12 hours.
That'd be
because
refreshing.
We don't have anybody else on the air.
Or like you mentioned, Bernard Shaw, all the old guys that used to be there.
Well, he was a left winger, but he wasn't in your face with it like they are now. Biden takes 2-week break as vacation time outstrips Trump, Obama, and Bush. What do you make of this? Mark Moore, New York Post.
I think that the Democrat strategists and the people in the White House are hiding Joe Biden right now, just like they did during the election. He spent more time in Delaware than Donald Trump did at his vacation resorts, than Barack Obama did going to Martha's Vineyard or to Hawaii, or that George Bush did going to his little place up outside of Waco. They're intentionally keeping him from having to have press conferences. Right now, he's falling off bikes and riding down the beach. Who does that as a president anyway? And we've got and then when asked about Joe Biden's vacations, the White House press secretary yesterday said, President Biden's constantly focused on the numbers that are most important to the American people, like lowering inflation costs for families, like prescription drugs and energy, reducing the deficit to fight inflation, growing the membership of NATO, and passing the most significant gun control laws in 30 years. These are absolute denials of reality to most Americans, and they keep sending him on. He's returning tomorrow from vacation, and then what's he going to do on Friday? Go right back to Delaware, Lynn. This guy is in absentia. He's, whatever they say about him mentally, he's physically not in the White House when this nation, as America's said in the polls we talked about earlier, think by and large by 70% the nation's going in the wrong direction.
But don't you think
that
But don't you think the Democrats are basically keeping him out of Washington? The farther away Joe Biden is from the people and from a network microphone, the better off he is. Remember, he's constantly telling us, "Well, they told me I'm not supposed to take questions."
Yes, he can't
supposed to be answering all these questions.
Good one, Casey. He can't even make up his own mind. And again, I repeat what I said earlier: how many Democrat congressional candidates are going to invite Joe Biden to stand up with them? That tells you everything you need to know.
Well, when he comes back to Washington on Wednesday, his schedule calls for him to go to suburban Montgomery County, Maryland, for a Democratic National Committee event. You reckon there'll be some fundraising going on there?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I mean, I guess you... And then the thing is, Lynn, they're going to send Biden and all of his cabinet officials in September. On September 6th, they're going to, after Labor Day, they're going to start the big push to the election where they go out and they try and brag on all these crises. It's just unbelievable if we weren't seeing it with our own two
Well,
eyes.
We need to take a break. And when we come back, we'll tell you about No More Fauci. But I'm just wondering if we should have No More Durham as well. I don't think I've ever been as frustrated with a single human being right now. Maybe I was with Comey as I am with John Durham. Just... come on. Come on, man. Talk 1370, the right choice. It's Cardle and Woolley in the morning.
You do not know what you are talking about.
What is going on with you two?
It's time for Cardle and Woolley's News to Know.
Stay tuned to this station for further news flashes.
Before you go.
And here we go.
I don't know how to break it to you, Mr. Cardle. I'm just going to do it bluntly because I think in my training as a therapist.
I like that.
I think that's the easiest way to do it.
I like blunt.
Fauci's going away.
What?
You going to let me answer a question?
But Lynn, who's going to represent science if it's not Dr. Fauci?
I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll represent science. Pi R square.
There you go. Who refers to themselves in the third person like this? I represent science, and if people criticize me, they're criticizing science. Science is supposed to be an unending, unanswered question, an exploration for the next fact, not we believe in truth over facts, as Joe Biden says. Who's going to represent science, Lynn?
It's like our five-year mission here on the show,
and
to seek out new worlds, new civilizations.
So
to boldly go where no talk show has gone before.
And people need to remember, this is a fact, speaking of, Dr. Fauci, Anthony Fauci, is the highest paid government employee, some would say bureaucrat, in the federal government. been there a long time.
Well, some will say, I think that has been established as a fact, hasn't it?
So do you think this is a good thing or a bad thing for the country if Dr. Fauci retires?
Well, that's not, I don't think that's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about, I always think, why would he do this? Why would he do this, Jim?
Do you think his response to the COVID pandemic was appropriate?
No, but why would he retire now?
Because he's had a long career. He's over 70 years old.
What has Jim Cardle been harping on all morning? How Biden's in trouble, how the Democrats are going to be curb stomped, how the Republicans are going to sweep in on a red wave such as never been seen before.
He's trying to go out on top, so to speak.
He's trying to go out before they kick him in the butt when they haul him in with subpoenas. That's why.
Oh, that would absolutely be a concern, too. A lot of folks will be... Well,
most people don't care about what?
About Fauci retiring.
You think most people don't care?
No.
You think most people who got stuck wearing masks and their kids lost 2 years of school don't care?
Well, they care about the government response to COVID, but they don't.
Is there anybody that doesn't know who he is?
No.
Okay,
really.
But you don't think they care?
They care more about the effects of COVID than they do about somebody's personal career.
Okay, what's your source on that?
That's my gut feeling.
Oh, that's Cardle is the source. Okay.
Yes.
Because I represent science.
Yes, there you go.
At any rate, Fauci is going to retire by the end of 2022, and I smell a rat because I smell a rat on almost every news story. I just think he wants out of there and to try to get away from Rand Paul's clutches.
Speaking of out of there, did you see that former NBA star Dennis Rodman's going to go back to Russia and try and free Brittany Griner?
I've got some I've got some advice for him.
Okay.
Don't take your marijuana with you.
That's some good advice.
I mean, you think Rodman's a pothead?
His history shows that he is.
Okay,
yes.
So it'd be one pothead going to free another pothead. If you're a pothead, put your potheadedness behind you before you go to Russia.
Well, he says he knows Vladimir Putin well, and history shows that he's visited with him before. Yeah. I don't know that this might be successful.
Okay, yeah.
We'll see.
I feel bad about the way I feel. I really do.
Brittany Griner's gotten herself in trouble over
and
there.
And I just don't give a flip. I know I should. I just can't.
In other countries, Lynn,
I can't find the compassion.
The law means something, and that's what Brittany Griner, bless her heart, is suffering
from. Oh, you're giving Russia far too much credit.
No, that's
the
point.
Wanted a bargaining chip. Special counsel Durham's lead prosecutor withdraws from the Danchenko case. I'm beginning to think that, by the way, I'll finish that sentence. But I'm beginning to think that John Durham is a waste of time and taxpayer money. Danchenko was one of the sources for the infamous Steele dossier.
Russia, Russia, Russia.
So why is the special counsel's lead prosecutor withdrawing? That's what inquiring minds want to know.
He's bored, maybe?
Probably a little more scandalous than that. All right, be logical, everybody. Remember, you're either an insider.
Or you're not. I'm Jim Cardle. Great Tuesday to you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.